In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is a beautiful example of patient suffering. At age 17 years old, he is carried away from his land, the land of Canaan. Think of what would happen today if that situation happened amongst a family. Keep in mind also that Joseph's brothers are in their mid to late 30s, if not in their 40s already. So they knew full well what they were doing. That is how much they hated him. Yet Joseph never complained, never grumbled, never accused God of treating him unfairly, never even stirred up trouble to the various places he found himself. He was faithful. Whether serving his father, his master, or even the prison warden, he was faithful in everything he did. Now he's 28 years old. The Lord was still with him, and he himself had remembered the Lord. Two influential men had been put in his custody, the cupbearer and the baker. The cupbearer was the chief attendant of Pharaoh. The baker was in charge of all the meals Pharaoh would eat. Both had a dream. Neither one of them understood their dream. In that day, dreams were seen as a sign from the gods, so one was considered lucky to have a dream. Now you see why they are so sad, that neither of them understand what their dream meant. It is no surprise also that Joseph has found himself in a position to interpret these dreams. There are no coincidences in God's world. He orders all things for the good of his people. Interpretation belongs to God alone. In 3 days, both will be lifted up. The cupbearer will be restored to his position, while the baker will be hanged. One would live, the other would die. And here sat Joseph in the middle, unjustly condemned, punished for someone else's crimes, patiently suffering, and yet still being faithful to God in all things, patiently enduring, trusting the Lord will provide for him in his time and his way. He asked the cupbearer to remember him. He saw it as an opportunity to escape the injustice that has been done to him. Suffering doesn't mean neglecting the remedies that God gives. Joseph saw this as a way out of jail. He knew he was innocent, so he desired that cupbearer to put a good word in for him with Pharaoh. But the cupbearer forgot Joseph. We know the ending. We know it's another 2 years before Joseph finally gets out. And yet his patient endurance is a beautiful example of how a Christian should live his life. As life goes from bad to worse, and as he is forgotten by everyone, he remains faithful. But Joseph is merely a shadow. The reality is found in Christ. It is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich for our sake became poor. Though he was equal to God, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And being made in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He steps lower and lower into his humiliation. It's not right. It's not fair. He did nothing wrong. He suffered unjustly. He was punished for someone else's crimes, yet he patiently endures. For this he was born. For this he lived, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, so that man might be saved. In Gethsemane, he also prayed for another way. Perhaps something else could be done. Perhaps there's another solution. It is not sinful to ask God for solutions to problems. It is not sinful to seek out remedies to ease one's sorrows. Our Lord knew full well what lay ahead, yet still he prayed that the cup would pass from his lips, a perfect prayer from the perfect Lamb, holy yet suffering, innocent yet still rejected. But there was no other way. "Look, here comes my betrayer," he says. No one else can be the substitute for the whole world. No one else can pay the price for the sins of the whole world, of all men and women and children who have ever lived. Blood must be shed to atone for sin, and only the blood of God can atone for that sin. There was no other way. He must die. He must shed his blood. And so he willingly goes, submitting to his father's will, without complaint, obedient to his father. Peter must sheath his sword. The heavenly legions must watch as their commander is led away and imprisoned on the cross between two criminals. One receives life, the other receives death. One repented and believed that he was a sinner justly punished. One looked to the Lord for salvation, while the other just simply wanted help for his physical problem. And so he died and was buried. In hell, where he is in torment, he lives in agony this very day. But the other man fell asleep. And that is exactly what death is for the Christian. It is simply falling asleep, even if it is the most horrific death known to man. For in that death, he was restored to life and welcomed into paradise by Christ himself, restored back to the image and likeness of God once more. For this is why Christ came. He came to suffer humiliation and agony. This is why he endured the cross and hell, so that you too might be restored to life and enter with him into paradise. You know your future far more clearly than you know the ending to Joseph's story. You know what lies ahead for you. You know where you will be, what you will be, what you will enjoy. For Christ endured the injustice of the cross so that you might be certain you have life and will have it to the full. And so if you suffer, the Lord sees you. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you or turned his back on you or ignored you. Follow the example of Joseph and of our Lord and patiently endure whatever may come. The Lord is treating you as his children. Do not whine and complain. Do not grumble or throw a fit. Do not accuse God of treating you unfairly. For Christ has left you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. When you suffer, when you are insulted, it is not your job to right the wrong or to seek vengeance, but to be faithful, to continue to be faithful, whether you are serving as a free man or even as one unjustly punished. There are no coincidences in this world. He has a purpose for all that he does. But as Joseph, and even as our Lord, sought a remedy to ease their suffering, so also we may seek a remedy to ease our suffering and our pain. It is, in fact, sinful to reject those remedies. It is tempting God to pray for help and then not to use the earthly help that he gives. We don't make God perform miracles. We use those earthly means that he gives, and when those earthly means do not help, we still wait patiently and faithfully. No grumbling, no complaining, no wondering, why me? When life goes from bad to worse, no questioning God, no wondering what he is doing, but submission and faithfulness to the will of God. He sees all things. It is for our good. It must be for our good. Certainly Joseph couldn't see the ending to his story. And certainly we cannot see the ending to our earthly lives. Perhaps it will get better, perhaps not. Either way, we are faithful. We are content. For we recognize that our home is not here on this earth, but our home rests with God in heaven. We are content because we do not live for this world. We live for the world to come. And that is sealed in God's own blood. The lowest point of Christ's humiliation is his burial. Motionless, lifeless, can't move, forgotten, and buried. Forgotten even as the cupbearer forgot Joseph. They thought he was the one to redeem Israel, but now he lay buried in a tomb. Forgotten by man, but never by God, soon Joseph will be restored to life, soon Jesus will rise from the dead. And soon you too will rise. Soon you too will enter the paradise prepared for you from before the creation of the world. For God has not forgotten you. He has not turned his back. He has not looked the other way. He is with you always. He is with you always to protect you and to defend you to the very end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.